Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that your word has come to us by vindication, and we know that word lives, Lord, and if that word is in our hearts, in our souls, then we know we are alive also with eternal life and shall not come into the judgment. We have already passed from death unto life, which gives us the immortality principle, Lord, and we know that this dust shall be changed into the same glory that your body was changed into. We appreciate that, Lord. And we pray, Lord, as this word comes from the prophet and to us and through us, we pray, Lord, it shall abide and rest in us until it comes forth in flesh, Lord. We know we bypass that word body, but through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, it puts us in the same position as though we were there, Lord, and will finally come forth into manifestation, which we believe is in this hour. So help us to have right minds, right attitudes, right understanding. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this message that Brother Branham brought back, I think, in 1962 on spoken word, his original seed, actually is the basis for many sermons that he preached even after the opening of the seals. But what he was doing at this particular time and taking this very, very long message, which I doubt that I'll actually cover it all, was at that particular time a review of what his ministry was based upon as pertaining to the Word, what he really stood for, and at that time as to what he was standing for, and in the future, what he would still stand for, because he knew that what was coming would have to dovetail and line up with this particular message. And that's why you'll see down the road he preached such sermons as, does God ever change his mind about his word? The anointed ones of the end time, and events which are to be, and different subjects that he took are actually coming forth from this particular sermon. Now, this is not to be construed as being presumptuous, because Brother Branham actually wrote this or preached this message based upon a literal revelation that God gave him as he was told to pick up his pen and write, which we will likely read this morning, previous to where it is in his message, but then we'll go back to it again later on. Now, in the first two messages, because we must disregard last Sunday, as I deliberately dwelt upon what Brother Branham's ministry actually was, taking it from Scripture, paralleling with the Apostle Paul. But going back to the first two messages, we brought to your attention that Brother Branham, in using the first chapter of Galatians about verses 1 to 13, wherein it sets forth God speaking into existence as the Creator, everything which is in this world, as John said, there's nothing made that wasn't made or created by him. And the continuity thereof with the laws of nature, the laws of God, shown to be inviolate and cannot be and irreconcilable as far as the world is concerned. It stands all alone. And so we looked at that as God being the Creator, and thereby we know there is a God, and thereby we also know through vindication and the continuity of nature that the Bible is definitely the Word of God. Now, we looked at that, and we came down to page 12, where Brother Branham then launches off into the second principle. Number one was, I believe the Bible is truly the Word of God, period. And as I showed you that many men of stature, Christian scientists, and I mean they were scientists and born again, or born again and became scientists, not Christian Science religion. But real scientists have never had any trouble with knowing that the Bible is correct, that there is a God, and this is decidedly His Word. Christian archaeologists have proven that to be true. Even men like Schoenfeld, who wrote the Passover hoax about the crucifixion of Christ, he admitted, and I will admit, that his translation of the New Testament from the ancient Aramaic is about as good as I've ever read in my life. And he says the Bible is true, which means that based upon history and what is found in the archaeological archives, what you find in libraries, etc., 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 the Bible is true as to its historical accuracy. Now, you remember that the accuracy of the Bible historically has been challenged many times. And people would say, well, now, these tribes mentioned in the Bible never were existent in history, only to find out that history is proven wrong. The Bible was exactly right and is right, and they're finding that more and more. Now, Brother Branham then goes from that. He goes to saying, the next thing I want to say, that I do not believe the Bible contradicts itself. Now, that's the next thing people say. Well, they say the Bible is a very fuzzy book. In fact, it says one thing here, another thing there. And I must admit, and you must admit, as you read the Bible, that you could even come to the conclusion that God is a God of evolution. And that God of evolution is a matter of our own ideas about God, to where we come from what you may say the gross to the finer. And I'll explain what I mean by that. I simply mean that when Jesus came to earth, He said it had been said unto you, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that's all over. It's no longer an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's love your enemy, do good to those that oppress you and hate you, and so on and so on. So they kind of believe that we have a God who has evolved in the sense, at least of our understanding of Him, and thereby we have a complete new set of rules. We have something that we can throw to one side as useless. That, in a sense, is true, but it's still not the real truth. And now you have to look at something which is presented to you, which is entirely different. But you know, the fact of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that does not eliminate the judgment of God. It simply means that judgment is no longer in the hands of man, where God is no longer using flesh as He used Israel, but God is now standing back on a judgment day. Remember what He said is not simply an eye for an eye, but as double unto her double. I'd sooner go back to an eye for an eye. See, what they simply don't understand that man treasuring up wrath, even as sin, which is sexual and degrading to the fourth generation where it dies out, because it cannot multiply any longer because syphilis and gonorrhea and those diseases have taken over. And now it's not even taking four generations. All it takes is one generation with AIDS and it's gone. You say, well, it would take two at the most. That's correct. Because they don't live to the place where they can replicate or they can bring forth. So, what we're seeing here then, that God does not contradict Himself. It's because He said, it's no longer an eye for an eye. Don't think for one minute that has anything to do with God per se, as though God changed or changed His mind. He's just telling you your conduct and your nature as of this hour as Gentiles spread across the face of the globe. It's not a whole new ball game, and it's not a whole new set of rules. It is simply the revelation of this hour contained in the life of the Word, which life can come forth from those who were Word in the beginning, where you pile word upon word until Brother Branham said the stature of a perfect man, which is God living and moving in that man, is the ultimate and can be. And of course, we did see that ultimate in the wisdom and knowledge and power of God as the Son of Man ministry came forth in the day of the appearing, perfectly vindicated to us, giving us an example. And that's all it is. Even the Apostle Paul said, we apostles are set forth as examples, that you might believe and follow in that particular path and grow up into Christ until the whole body comes to the place of full nourishment and the manifestation of the hour which is now, wherein the headship, the Word by the Holy Spirit's in control and will be in control, bringing forth even glorified bodies in the resurrection and in those standing here. So Brother Branham says, I want you to know the Bible does not contradict itself. I've offered a challenge world around for any persons who claim such to come prove it to me. Come prove it. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. It's you contradicting the Bible. God cannot contradict himself. If he does, then he isn't God. You see, that's true. That's not just a logical statement. That is an absolute statement of fact. That is not a point of argument. It is a point of truth. Look at it. If the Word of God contradicts itself, then God himself is contradicting himself because God's doing the talking. And if the words then are contradictory, the person is contradicting himself because he alone is talking. Because he's already said here, this book has nothing to do with man. I have put my word in men's mouths. I've told them to pick up the pen and write. I've given them the memory, a perfect recall, so the scribe can write it down exactly. Brother Branham himself admitted he had perfect recall. And he did. When he came to the Word, he said, I was the only one who could tell exactly as he saw it. Exactly as it was. You could even go into your dreams and prove it. Then it isn't God. And if this Word is God and it contradicts itself, then it makes God contradicting himself, then where is your God? Gets kind of thick, doesn't it? Very complicated. All right? We know that's the truth. James 1:16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now watch what that means. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, and very slow to get upset by what you hear. For otherwise, why do you say slow to wrath? Who are you going to get mad at? Going to get mad at God because he knocks the props from under you. Hits your creeds and dogmas on the head. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's like Cain. See? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, or superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, and nothing else will do it. Why? Because there's a place in there for the word. And if you don't fill that place with the word, then you're not going to have what God wants you to have or said is available. Okay, now you look at the same type of thinking over here with the Apostle John. And the Apostle John says in 1 John 1:5, that this then is the message which we've heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're liars and don't have the truth. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with each other who is in the light, the same as we are, as God is, and given it to us. And the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing us from all sin. So therefore, these people that worry about, is the blood on the altar, is it not on the altar? Come on, it tells you here what the blood's doing. You see, this is the thing I'm afraid we're not getting across here. We're not getting across many times the true ultimates of God. Like you have your question. When did it all start? Where is the reality of God creating himself in human flesh? All right, let me show you where some of you are thinking like materialistic scientists who are either agnostics or atheists. They say, now, we've got the Galileo up there, and we've got the Venus probe, and we've got all these satellites up there, and these things zooming around, and we've got this great big, tremendous telescope up there that's finally working, not as well as it should have, because we made a little bit wrong, but it's still doing a good job. And we have found this in concluding that the Big Bang is pretty well correct, and we found the little tiny waves out there to show, hey, there's something to creation, and there's something out there we could call God, but not like you people call God. It would be called the Force or something, you know, like your Star Wars and all that junk. Now, you see, here's what science is telling you. They're telling you it was inevitable that life would eventually come because these substances that took millions of years, these little atoms, these molecules, these little infinite things there that would take tremendous microscopes to reveal. They finally got their wrangling together and coming together and kissing and makeup and forming a little this and forming a little that. And finally, you know, life would have to come. Nuts! If I've ever had a load of barnyard manure thrown into my mind, it'd be on that one. So what am I trying to tell you? You don't look at what's out here that's merely a clothing. You go back to see if there's something that can put a coat on itself. It's God with skin. It started way back. In him was who living, that living God was that life. It was already there, waiting to put the flesh on. And it couldn't do till, first of all, God had a lesser son by the name of Adam, who would be the physical carrier of that eternal life, where those sons would be brought forth by his wife Eve, who was of himself and taken out of him, provided him to make replicates or duplications or reproduce himself. She was given to him for that particular purpose. See, that's why it degenerated into sexual pleasure, became a wrong thing, and will be until God brings them forth out of the earth and set the whole thing in balance again, as it was in the very beginning. So what am I trying? I'm trying to show you here these principles in the Word of God. As Brother Branham said, there's nothing in here that contradicts. There's nothing in the Bible. And to get rid of all your contradictions, it's as simple as ABC, and I've been teaching it for a long time. What does it say in Genesis, and what does it say in the book of Revelation? What did the prophet say in Genesis? What did he say in Revelation? It doesn't matter what goes in between and where all your thinking is, where you get all entirely messed up, where all the error is. Look at the end. And the end shows you what I've been preaching for years here in the fulfillment of God. There isn't any contradiction. Forget it. It all started way back there, and it ends with a new heaven and a new earth and a pyramidal city called New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles each way, the tree of life in the midst, the bride, the 144,000 eunuchs or virgins tending to the bride, the husband of the bride upon the throne, the Lamb, and the pillar of fire above it, and millions outside there. All the redeemed children of God. Now, you can talk about soul all you want. You can talk about spirit all you want. You can talk about this all you want. The point is, do you see what God sees? And what God has shown us by a prophet. You do not get in the book of Revelation the pillar of fire over the throne. You don't get it. But you do get it in the book of 1 Corinthians, been teaching to you that one that's in our midst here now, that's putting everything under the feet of Jesus Christ, so that everything except he who is doing it is put under him, who incarnates himself in that one, reincarnates, comes down here. There comes a day of separation when he hands it all back to the Father. And you see the most glorious thing in the world. And before they call, they have the answer. Understand what we're saying? Before you get hungry, there's a meal there. Before you get tired, there's a place to lie down. Before there's a question, there's an answer. You're no longer in a quandary. Now, you're putting up with that at this hour because that's a trial of your faith mentally. Now, you see why I preach the way I preach? Because I look at the whole picture, the broad spectrum. As our brother Branham said, look, he said, it doesn't matter so much what's in the middle. Sort of forget it. He said, it's what's at the beginning, Alpha. What's at the end is Omega. And I made it very clear. I said, if I've got a board that has not been tampered with, it's one solid piece. And it's oak at this end. It's oak at that end. It's oak in the middle. So forget it. No, but people can't forget it. Got to puzzle, puzzle, puzzle. Think and think and think. When are you going to start believing? What do you think of this, Brother Benson? You ain't got a thing coming. I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just telling you what goes on. And where you can miss the point. Because it's easy to miss. Now, there aren't any contradictions. Because there's no darkness in him. See? Darkness signifies the light, the lack of light. And we know the light is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Now, you've got to take that out of John and put it with this. And notice what I read when we talked a little bit on greetings. Because Brother Brooks wouldn't have time to preach a sermon now, the first of the year, so we just sort of threw it in for both of us. Hope was satisfactory. Anyway, the truth. See, it's all the same. Truth, light. And at the same time, truth is power because we can do nothing against the truth. And yet the Bible says, he that scattereth not for me scatters against me. He that is not with me is against me. You begin to put this together, you can see that our God is a great citadel. A high tower the righteous run into and they are safe. He's a rock in a weary land. Shout in the time of need. A light under our path, a lamp under our feet. So all of these things we find here. Brother Branham said when Christ came, everything was in him. Well, he was the Word. There couldn't be anything in him that wasn't in the Word. If he had something in him that wasn't in the Word, he's a liar and an imposter. And if he didn't have everything that was in the Word in him, then he's still a liar and an imposter. Now, if the same one came back here in the Spirit today and did the same things he did when he was in the flesh and proved who it was, where do you stand today now in the Word that Brother Branham brought us? You're still playing around? Is that what you do? Still playing around? Yeah. It's like the Bible, a little folding of the hands, a little slumbering, and pretty soon you wake up and it's all over. People are too casual. I remember years ago I was preaching out there in Tucson. And a man that said, well, I don't believe that Brother Branham is Elijah. I believe John the Baptist. Well, that ends it. That's a lie. It doesn't end it. Great Pentecostal preacher, great theologian, so-called. I guess he was. To some people, he wasn't to me. But he said, I'll tell you what, he said, if I believed that it wasn't John, Brother Branham getting my vote. But he didn't believe it. He heard me preach one morning. And I was laying on the line about the vindicated prophet. He said, well, it was all right, but it was an overkill. When William Branham himself took 80% of his time, it's an overkill. If you think it's an overkill, how come that you people that heard me on the 27 loved it as though you hadn't heard anything like it before? I'll tell you why. There's no such thing as an overkill with God when you ever get too much of him. I'll tell you something. You're not of God, you're of the devil, because the devil got too much of him. Oh, that's tough preaching. I didn't expect to say these things because you're preaching off the cuff, but nobody's getting hurt by it if your heart's good for him. Knock the spots off you, get some ointments on you. But I'm going to tell you, you can't be too hot for this word. You can't be too involved in it because nothing outside this message will come to life or has life in it. Now, God contradicted himself. He's not anymore than I am, and no more than you are, for he can contradict himself. What would that do? That means he denies his own wisdom and power. And if he actually contradicts himself, it denies his love for us. It's not so bad that he's messed up. That's his prerogative. But how can he call us the children of his life and of his love and mess us up? Yeah. Now that's a good thought, eh? Just hold it there. Now, he cannot contradict himself. There's no way that God could be definitive and not defend at the same time. And there's no way that God can be to accomplish unless he's definitive. Because he might get the job half done and find he found he blew it. That's why I could never understand the Trinity. How that the Father made man and man fell. And God stood back to Father and he was appalled. Something's got to be done. And number two comes on the scene, the Son, and he said, Father, I'll take care of your mess and the mistake you made. Can you believe such trash as that? Many times I've said, and people don't like the way I preach because they preach too hard. I said, here's a guy, he's got a little boa constrictor in his pythonarium, you know, where he keeps the snakes. So while he said that, that poor little old python looks cold. I'll just drop pussycat in there. That'll keep him warm. Next morning, there's no cat. The python, he's like this. He's, oh, poor little pussy cat. Do you think that bird didn't know that snake could eat that cat? Do you think for 1 minute God didn't know what's going to happen to Adam and Eve in the garden? See, the cat reached behind the truth. God's word is not contradictory. God is what Irenaeus said, and nobody wants to believe it outside of William Branham, a few guys like you and me. Although it was said by Irenaeus, who was taught by Polycarp, a disciple of John. And you can tell John would have said it. Got it right from Jesus. God being a Savior, it was necessary that he predestinate a man who would sinner a sinner in order to give himself a reason and purpose of being. Sir, people don't believe it. They don't want to read the book of Romans and see the sovereignty of God. Oh, no way, shape, and form, because that upsets their apple cart. That makes them want to put something through and see, Lord, look at me, didn't I do great? Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I don't know you. And every single time the greatness has to do with some miracle or something fancy or something wonderful. Haven't they learned about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? The answer is no. All right, that's why someone says Matthew 28:19. Where it says, go ye into all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the book of Acts 2:38. So therefore they think that Matthew 28:19 contradicts Acts 2:38. See? Now let's face it. The people who, with Brother Branham, in the 20th century, and in the 19th, and the 18th and on back, maybe the first three centuries, they had it right. Baptizing in Trinity. These people say, listen, and your Pentecostals are the ones that can rejoice the most because they have signs that follow the word and are thereby fooled because they're false and anointed only to gifts and not to the word. Just like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, just exactly like the other sinners. You know, Balaam. Right down the line you see them. Time of Jeremiah. You get those guys in there too. They're false prophets. They're anointed correctly for events and things, but they're not anointed to the word. Now, William Branham alone, with vindication from God, alone can settle the dispute once and for all. What is correct baptism? Is it true? In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which are only titles, what is the name? Now, the smart ones, like old Eberhard, I told you about him up in Canada, very brilliant high school teacher, great Bible student, he said, bless God, if that's the way the apostles did it, that's the way it's done. But he had no more revelation than nothing concerning the truth, because he was a dyed-in-the-wool Trinitarian. Didn't understand at all. I don't like those words, offices, at all. Because they can come right back and say, I will pray to my office. Actually, Brother Branham brought us the truth when he said it was the great drama of God with roles and parts played, which are major or minor, depending on what God wants. They're always major, but there's always a little difference in it. Now, everybody that's ever baptized has to be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if you're not baptized using the name of Jesus Christ, you are not baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You are baptized in some titles that pertain to a name. If that isn't the right revelation, then the Bible would be wrong when it went ahead and everybody was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown is telling the truth. If Jesus said, go in all the world and baptize into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then at Pentecost, coming back in the form of the Holy Spirit, His own life that He shed coming back on them, and He promised, I'll teach you all things, I'll lead you into all truth, I'll bring all things to remembrance, and they turn around and use Jesus Christ instead of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's something wrong, not with the disciples, but with God Himself. Who's your own, oh brother, they'll hold it. You hold it. You hold it. I'll tell you why. God is sovereign. And that means He can take any man and wrap him right around where He wants him. If you think God would allow His truth to stink on the day of Pentecost, you've got to be kidding. See, you're still playing up man instead of playing up God. On your deathbed, play up the Pope or some preacher and see what happens to you. I'd sooner play up to God. Into thy hands I commend my spirit and my soul. Live, die, sink, or swim, Lord, whatever you say. Because of that way anyway. This is a vindicated man that is telling us these things. Not just somebody who is saying every one of the apostles down through the age baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. After Jesus commissioned them to baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then the Bible absolutely contradicts itself. But if you look at it, it isn't. They did just what He said. Not titles, but name. So there's no contradiction. In other words, they knew what He meant. See? How many more I could pull out of here, I've even got written down, there were people say the Bible contradicts itself. I've asked for 25 years, almost 30 now, for someone to show me it isn't there. No, sir, it's there, the truth, all the truth and nothing but the truth. And our faith rests right there on what God said. Don't try to interpret it. Just say it the way it says it. Now, He's telling you that's what the apostles did. They just went ahead and did the right thing. They knew what it was, that name. Don't put any private interpretation to it. Now, I hope that if this hurts, that it isn't doing that it isn't I who is doing the hurting. I'm trying to say what I believe, the way I've acted, of the things that I've done. I'm trying to show myself to the world that I have done this because it's my conviction. Now, the point is, where did Brother Branham get his conviction? Where do you get your conviction? Where is your tie post? William Branham was meeting the pillar of fire face to face. Our conviction is him coming back with, thus saith the Lord. Absolutely. Vindicated that he is the one to tell us what is truth. Poor old Pilate said, what is truth? And then didn't stay long enough to get the answer. That's what happened to Brother Branham's ministry. Oh, Brother Branham, you could do this great thing. Oh, Brother Branham said to Kersey, you can look behind the Iron Curtain and tell us all about Russia. Oh, Brother Branham, do this thing like Elisha did. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell us what the Syrian king's doing, everything and other thing else. And Brother Branham thought he might do it, but God didn't let him do it. But the same De Courcy, when he found out that this woman, Livingston, she was all skin and bone. You saw the picture in the book. Nothing but skin and bone. She said, I've got cancer. And Brother Branham prayed, doubled it on the window there, and the woman was perfectly healed, and she turned around and told the people, Brother Branham said it was cancer. He did not. She said it was cancer. Then she said, what I had was diabetes. So it really doesn't count if I got healed. I read the letters. Yes, they're destroyed. I think I know who destroyed them because Brother Branham intimated. I read those letters from King George's secretary and the president of Finland. And I read the curses. And he said, if Brother Branham were the great prophet, he wouldn't have said it was cancer. She said it was cancer. So the healing means nothing. Well, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is going to be tame what happens in judgment. You do what you want about it. All right. My conviction. What is his conviction? Thus saith the Lord. I believe that any word that's added to the Bible, and whoever is guilty of doing it, his part will be taken out of the book of life, Revelation chapter 22. Whoever shall add to this or take from this, I do not believe that any creed, any dogma, anything else, but just that the literal word of God is God's plan, nothing else. In other words, it's his blueprint, tells you what he's going to do and does it. Anything else is sinful, that's unbelief, and will be dealt with and be eternally lost. And any man, any creed, any denomination, or anything will add to it or take from it, just even a punctuation mark, a jot or tittle of this word, God, who is not a God of yesterday, who wrote a book and handed out to a bunch of men's hands and let it be confused and everything else, then go to judge the world with that book? Come on, he says, no way. If you've got a book that isn't 100% true and be absolutely true to you as an individual, how in the world could God ever judge by it, see? But the God that wrote it lives in it, and confirms his word, which he did by thus saith the Lord. Now, studying the tapes, I want you to study that real close right there, that remark. So what was the remark? If there's a contradiction, forget it. And if anybody adds to it, thereby forcing that word to say something else, men therefore in disbelief, God allowing it, how could that book ever judge anybody? Or God ever judge anybody? So you see right here, you're not dealing with the laws of America and nine superior judges. There are nine out there with the last bird, the chief of the bunch. Wait a minute, what are they, nine, eight? Come on, you guys know your con. How many? Bob, you know, what is the Supreme Court of main judges? Nine, that's what I thought, sir. The ninth one is, and the big shot is he's Rehnquist, isn't he? Old Rehnquist, see the guy up there now? he passed off the scene. Well, it doesn't matter. The point is this. They are supposed to have a constitution in America that they really know what it's all about, and they don't. You cannot, it's not like the Bible in the hands of theologians. You cannot go to the Supreme Court and say, listen, I, this and this and this, and they look at them and say, here's a precedent. There are no precedents anymore. That's right, there are no precedents anymore. Go to any judge in town, he doesn't care two bits about you. Sell you down the river. Do you think my Bible's that way? Come on. Not one word's ever failed, never is going to fail. Yes, sir. Millions have the same attitude that Brother Branham had. But you know what? They believe that their creeds and their dogmas are part of the Word, and they can get away with it. Yeah. It's not an interpretation, brother, sister. It is a manifestation which reveals it absolutely is the fact. Now remember, Alpha is Omega, and you could get away in between joining a church and shaking hands. Not anymore. We're talking about today. Never forget this message. Is Brother Branham preaching about himself, God, and himself, God, his word, and himself, and the prophet, and you and me. Now, I began in Genesis, and I'm over to Revelation now, bringing this together, that this is God's Word. Revelation says that whosoever shall take from it or add to it, the same will be his part taken out of the book of life. I got the scripture here, Revelation, last chapter. What's the first chapter that shows now? What is there in it? What is the Word? Now, I'll tell you what it is. It's eternal. It must not be tampered with, added to, taken away from. See, it can't be tampered with. God sees to that. It must not be added to. Anything to it can't be done. Nothing can be taken from it because it's eternal. Now, to base that and show you that, what I'm trying to say is in between these, Genesis and Revelation. It will not mix with anything else. In other words, what he's telling you, I'm starting at Genesis, I go from here to Revelation, and what I found in Genesis, I found in Revelation, it is the Word of God, and don't dare touch it. Because if you do, you are going to be irrevocably lost. Or, you will not fit into a certain pattern. And you couldn't fit in anyway because you weren't predestinated to it. Now, we're talking about foolish virgins that will be brought up. Just leave it alone for the time being. But we're talking about those that deliberately remember the foolish virgin come out, but they do not see him. They are not with him, and consequently cannot enter in with him. But they have come out, and they're victims of what they were taught. But they'll go in at the end, the white throne. Now, here's where we're going to differ from here till 5 o'clock this afternoon. He knows the people he's sitting there, most are a bunch of Pentecostals. They don't have the thing to do with predestination. They don't believe in sovereignty. They don't even, Brother Branham has the last word. They acknowledge him. When it comes to gifts, their gifts are superior. They'll talk right off the floor, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 and be 100% out of the will of God. Stand right there and say, we're a God. Oh, William Branham's a God, but we're a God too. William Branham's a God, but we're a God too. In fact, I think we're a little bit better than Brother Branham. Junior Jackson supposed to say to me, this is a friend of mine told me, being right in his church, he took the church 8 book and said, that goes to drawer number 13 when you throw it in the gutter. Get out of here. And he said, if Brother Branham were here now, he'd admit that he was wrong and I was right. Well, if the women in his church start wearing slacks and cut their hair, I could sure believe that. I don't know if they're doing it or not. I haven't been down there. I didn't have trouble believing that. You stand up and say, William Branham, and you mention your name with his, hey, that's pretty risky. That's pretty risky. And his death, if you think you can compare with him. I'll tell you why, because a prophet cannot be judged because he is the judge. Amen. Even a lousy, stinking, crooked judge can't be judged. Unless the Supreme Court gets in on him, or the Attorney General. You can maybe level charges finally, but normally in a court that proceeds in order, unless the guy has been proven some kind of a skunk, which can't be, you know, taken care of under the table, that guy's word is law, whether it's law or not. If you don't know that by now, you haven't even, you're not even, you're a stillborn, or you're an abortion, I don't know, whatever it is. You're not dry behind the ears. There's only one hope you and I got. This word is right the way the prophet taught it. Now, here's where we're going to differ, he says. Now, let me make this clear for the tapes. Now, after I've told you why I believe the word, what God has said about it, and how it should not be taken or added to, taken from, I want to go into the dense part of it, to the context of this long text I've drawn out, and explain to you, and show you what happened. Then you can see the reason I believe what I believe, see? Now, he's been like a Bible historian. Now watch. Now here's where we're getting to the real crux. And this is what you might call the thesis, the basis, the principle that Brother Branham introduces and uses nature as an illustration. Remember, he does not go from nature to the Bible. He goes from the Bible to nature and shows that it is in nature. But he takes it from the Bible, so watch carefully. Otherwise, Brother Branham could be maybe a pantheist. or something. Now, here's what he says. Now, he's talking about the word, spoken word as original seed, where God himself spoke, and the great creative acts of God came on display. Now, the word cannot be mixed, and it will not interbreed or hybridize with anything else. You hear what he said? It will not hybridize. In plain English, the life that is in the Word, if there is a life in it, cannot be transferred. No. And is continuous only with that same word from Alpha to Omega. Precept to predestination. You understand what I'm saying? Today is a great day of hybridizing. He calls it hybriding, but it's hybridizing. Animals, corn, wheat. Making a better looking product, but it's no good. It's rotten. No life in it. Dies. Can't reproduce itself. It's dead. Because everything that we have on earth today in its original form is a spoken word of God. Even nature itself shows that you cannot hybridize without it being a dead end street. It just won't work. Now, I know they're splicing genes. I know they're taking characteristics from one thing to another. But that does not have a thing to do with this. It actually enhances the truth of the serpent seed. See, okay. We can talk about that later. Now, he says here, it's dead because everything that we have on earth today is in its original form, is a spoken word of God. But we know something surely did go wrong. What was it? The interruption caused by Eve. And it's been in a state of interruption ever since then. But one day it will end, and that which God sowed will come forth in a perfect harvest. So Brother Branham is saying the original spoken word cannot be mixed or used outside of its own framework. See? It cannot reproduce itself outside of itself. Not one jot, not one tittle, not one hair, not one anything. Won't work at all if any changes are made. Put from this place to that place. Talked about as though it belongs to this subject, but belongs to this subject. Talked about as though it's this hour and it belongs to that hour. No. It's got to be exactly how God said it and exactly where He put it. You cannot make any change. Won't work at all if any changes are made. It is dead unto all else but its own self. He won't share his life with anything. Right? Any more than God will share his glory. See? As Brother Branham said, nothing outside of this message will come to life. He's right. It can only reproduce itself. Not what any man said or any man wants. And eventually will produce itself exactly as, and will be shown at the harvest. That's the ultimate of God. Do not expect the word to come to pass unless it is left entirely alone to its own self. Nothing added, nothing changed. The study of hybrids in nature illustrate the point. All right. Again. Now it cannot be mixed. It will not interbreed with anything else. In other words, bring forth. It will not hybridize. It can't mix. It just goes kapoof, no light. See? Today is a great day for hybridizing animals, corn, wheat, products, so on. Making a better looking product, but it's no good, it's rotten, no life, and it dies, can't reproduce itself. It's dead because everything that we have on earth today is in its original form. Anything on earth in the original form now, from way back in Genesis, is a spoken word of God. It's a creation. Now, see if I made a note, or is my notes further over? Okay, we'll let it ride. That's why that a mule, now listen, a bastard-born animal with a crossbreeding cannot breed itself back again. In other words, its start is its finish. Its birth is its death. It has no seed within itself, no germ, no life. It's sterile, period. You have made void my promises, my word, by your traditions. You can't have it. All right. God made a horse, and he made a donkey. You breed the two together, you get a mule. It's a hybrid. Therefore, it can't breed itself back. What happens? The horse is lost, the mule is lost. I mean, the donkey's lost, not the mule. The mule's dead. He can't breed. Won't work. Now, they claim, but you can't believe the newspapers, because they don't tell the truth anymore. They make everything up because they editorialize. When you editorialize, you're not telling the truth. You're telling what you think. Let's face it. That's all. There's no reporters anymore. They're a bunch of jackasses. They don't do their jobs. They're pitiful. They're pitiful. Absolutely, they're worse than pitiful. How are you going to pity what I don't believe God pities? They said at one time, I read where they had these mules and a couple did breed and bring forth. Well, anybody can say that. I can say I'm a millionaire. You cash my checks, they'll all bounce. Good joke on you. You want to be a sucker because you believe a lie? You're gullible? You know, sure, be gullible. All you want to be gullible. People lie about anything to make, you know, to get their way. Brother Branham said, you know, you're shaped in sin, conceived iniquity, come in the world speaking lies. That's sure the truth. See, it's a hybrid. Can't breed itself back. The original is lost, see? We're going to hit the serpent seed after a while now. It can't breed itself back. That's the... See, what happened with this particular thing is the life did not meet the right light. In other words, the life in the sperm did not have the egg, which was commensurate, that came from the same life, though in itself did not have life, but was the bedding ground. How are you going to have then a donkey and a horse? Ain't going to work. How are you going to have God's word and man's word? See, this is where we're coming to the definitive, why 8 souls make the ark.
Well, that's God, you Branhamites. You think you're the only ones right.
I know we're the only ones right. I ain't got a thing coming. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, I do. Yeah. I didn't know the first thing about that when something in me said, if you ever listen to any man, that's a man to listen to. I still played around the edges a long time before I really listened. I don't know how much I'm listening even now. But I'll tell you one thing, if I don't, whatever was here condemns me. My own, whatever is in here, will stand in the judgment and have to acknowledge. And I'll be blown away at the chance. I certainly hope not. I certainly hope that I'm on the right side. I can't prove anything. But this man could, and this man did. And those that said he didn't are liars. What's the difference? The devil lies and they belong to him anyway. In other words, look. Jesus said, there's no place in your heart for the word. In other words, there's no original life there. That this word seeking just zeroes in on. Now the life in here and the life in the Word will form Christ in you. And bring you forth in the resurrection. Or in this hour. If that's the hour that we're going to be changed. Which it is. But I'm talking about whether you and I will get it or not. We may die. Now what's my text? The spoken word is the original seed. I want to prove that. Let's turn to Matthew 24 or 35 just a moment. As we search these things through Scripture. We look at it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, what's he saying? This generation, which can also be rendered this breed of people, rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing, according to their own assumption or attestation or assay. But God's assay is, you're wretched, miserable, naked and blind, and ignorant of your condition. You don't have what you think you have. I'm standing here to give it to those who want it. And Pentecost, the whole bunch walked just right away. Now he said, this people. And remember, it's the same Son of Man ministry back there as now. This breed of people back there did not pass away. You still got the same Jew serpent seed. You've still got the same Gentile serpent seed. And in that serpent seed is make-believer and unbeliever. And they'll gravitate toward the worship of science and force because science is dependent upon force. Because they know there's force out there. As the force be with you. Right? Star Wars. Every place you go, you see it. But he said, my words will not. What words? The word of the hour. That's this message here. So there again, Brother Bill, I don't believe you got a special message here. Well, that's great then. What did Noah have to do then? Why did Moses come on the scene? Where do you place Jeremiah? What did he do with Amos? How about Zechariah? They're idiots. Spiritually speaking. Now, shall not pass away or get put aside for another word. Not only will it fulfill itself, it has to. Because you see, this word is accounted for the judgment. And every word will be accounted for in the judgment. We're before the white throne now, and people don't realize it. You know why before the white throne? Because it's wind-up time. Chaff to be burned. Right now we're standing in the judgment because the judge is here. And we're not being blown away. What's with these Branhamites? Well, these lovely people called Branhamites, because in derision, we're the true sons of Almighty God. And they said, blessed are these people that follow the prophet. Blessed are the people that stand in the last day with the vindicated man of God, a prophet. Because the word of God comes by the prophet, and the prophet's God to the people. And the prophet is the manifested word of God to the people. Oh, yeah. And you can't judge him. Well, you say, man, you're really going far. Oh, yeah, just as far as God told me to go. Just as far as vindication. See, they're afraid to step where we step. But oh, they'll mouth on. Because, oh, they've studied every... I get this guy phoned me. And he thinks that the most of us don't understand sovereignty. Because he reads all these books. And the guys that he talks to in this message, they're kooky and a hoot owl. Why do I fuss at the hoot owl? My Lord God, they're wise and clever creatures. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, what is this pillar of fire stuff? What is this random thus said the Lord? What is this stuff about you know? In the counsel of the ungodly. I'm with the godly. Or are you really? Prove it. Where's your counsel coming from? Where Where's the vindication you stand on? What do you got to show? Well, I was a terrible drunkard, and you know, and I had a terrible, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I got saved. Hallelujah. I can take a terrible drunkard and a guy with a bad heart and get him to a doctor, and the doctor says, one more drink, one more cuss word, one more anger, one more anything, and you're dead. Oh, my God. He's a new man overnight. And Jesus didn't do a thing for him. He just quit his booze and all his crapping. Don't talk to me about your psychology. I'm not interested. And what you think you produced with God and because of God. Because if God's not producing himself in you, you're finished. You're not producing God. What are you talking about? You know the first thing about grace? Evidently not. Most people don't. They ain't got a clue. Always trying to put something to something. But his delight's in the law of the Lord. What law of the God? How do you know it's the law of God? And in his law does he meditate day and night. He'd be like a tree planted by the river of water. Let's stop right there. Hey, what? Well, there's the time. I see. Who cares about anything about the time goes? I can quit anytime I feel like quitting. Thank you. That's nice. I'm going to do it anyway. You know, you always go when you want to go. Let me show you something here. You run the first Psalm. Blessed is that man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He stands in the way of sinners. Sits in the seat of the scornful. His light in the law of the Lord. And his law that he meditate day and night. He's going to be like that tree planted by the water. Listen. Here's what Malachi 3 says. And this is when the rebuke comes. Return to me, and I'll return unto you. How are we going to return? Hey, I stand at the door and knock. Let me in. Hey, you never were out. Yes, I am. Want to get in. Ah, shut up. See? They can't stand for it. They say, oh, yeah, Larkin told the truth. He's outside the church trying to get... But bless God, he's in my heart. Hallelujah. And turn down the word. You've got to be nutting the fruitcake. No, I like fruitcake. Change that expression. No, merciful God, listen. He said, you rob God. How am I? What do you mean rob God? Tithes and offerings. You know something I've discovered? People are quitting it. Yeah. They're hedging, they're quitting. The one safeguard you got for a nickel or two. When the pressing all comes. Look at me. You know, I can preach anything I want here because I don't take 1 cent from you. I quit that 2 years ago. And when the people come to the outside, I buy all the meat and a lot of other things. No? You'll never get me on a bear by the grace of Almighty God, and I'll preach the truth. There are people already who simply don't want this, never have, and never will, because they don't believe God's word. I'm not interested in money, per se. That means you like credit cards? No. Got one credit card, pay it up to date every single day. Yeah, they're quitting this. They don't want it. The devourer's devouring. The land's being corrupt. That's one thing I got against Rush Limbaugh. He's very good except for one thing. He said Mount Pinatubo puts more debris and junk in the atmosphere than mankind could do in centuries. That's true. But then he doesn't tell us about the filth that's in the soil that the scientists are putting there through the farmers. He keeps his hand off it. He merely goes on the outer edge. And he said, well, what it is, if we didn't have these things going on, then people would starve. Why don't they go back the way God taught people to do things? I think Limbaugh's pretty good, but he's pretty screwed up, too. He's one of those guys who think Jesus Christ would be a full-fledged Republican president or something. It is. He's a nice guy. He's smart. He's one of the best there is in the world. He tells it as he is. I agree. But I want to show you. Every single person makes a mistake, but God does not make mistakes, and his prophet never errs. We're not judged by Limbaugh. We're judged by the word. Now listen. Said it's vain to walk the ordinance of God. They're not walking mournfully. You call the proud wicked happy. The wicked are... And they that work wickedness are set up. And they tempt God to deliver. Now listen. Watch the difference between those at the end time and this bunch here. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. Now listen here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night in number one psalm, but at the end time he's talking it. You understand what I'm saying? He's not talking to God. He is not praying. He is meditating. And he's talking to, they're talking to each other. Now let's keep looking. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them. A man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And that tells you right here, as you take the prophetic message, as you take that word and meditate, and as you talk it, you'll be the only ones who can tell the real difference between the true anointed and the false anointed, and that's the Word of God. And when you're not talking it, you will find yourself pulled aside to this little woman over here, that little man over there, and pretty soon this thing and that thing, instead of going to the Word of God, which is vindicated in all of grace. Nobody asked God for a prophet. He sent one. We didn't know how to ask. No. A lot of people knew they needed one, and they got him, turned him down. Those of us that didn't know split beans and buttermilk, as Jack Bell would say, we're the ones that he sent to, because we're little fellers. See, the big guys had all the answers. God sent us a prophet, then we'll put our words in his mouth. He'll vindicate us. Oh boy, did I find my doctrine smashed. And then people said, well, you see, Brother Dale, he's the one that told Brother Branham these things and got poor old Brother Branham, that little Kentucky hillbilly, all messed up. I got news for you. The Church Age book is not my book. It is not my thinking. I wouldn't have thunk it. And I wouldn't have taken time for it. Because I wouldn't be interested. That was William Branham's doctrine. And if I had the chance to write it again with him standing here, you'd really get a book. Yeah. That's just child's play to what lies in this word that's vindicated. Yeah, tree planted by the water. What does it say? Brings forth his fruit in his season. Leaf shall not wither. What he does prospers. The ungodly are not so, like chaff, the wind blows away. The ungodly shall not stand the judgment. The sinners in the congregation righteous. In other words, they cannot come into us. They can never come into the bride. There's no way. You'll never get them in. That's why join the church. As I say, this church is in good shape. Now, finally, you don't have a building anymore. You don't need property. The only reason you keep your charter is for one reason. So if somebody comes in and breaks a leg, he can't sue everybody. Well, we could always take care of that. Throw it all out except your tax number. You're allowed that. Perfectly free. I'd advise every church do the same thing. Just let some trustees handle it, sign it over to them. Come rejoicing. There's no strings on you anymore. There's no bylaws. There's no this law. There's no that. It's just only one thing. The law of Almighty God from this word written in your heart by the Holy Ghost and love pervading. We're going to talk about those things later. I got something in my mind coming up. But we'll just let it sit there for the time being. All right. Where are we? Well, we haven't got too far now. Okay, we're here. Now, you cannot mix anything with that then. Now, in the book of Revelation, now, this is for the last day now. You cannot violate the word of the last day. The book of Revelation, 22nd chapter, verse 19. I testified every man. Now, remember, Genesis, where he spoke the word, see? Testified every man, that's priest, pope, bishop, presbyter, whatever, that heareth these words of the prophets of this book. If any man add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues written in this book. Now, what about your dogmas? What about your unscriptural creeds? Now, dogma is what one thinks to be true, whether it is or not. But you say, this is true, so dogma can be perfect or imperfect. Dogma can be the word or not the word. Dogma can be part word, something taken, something added. What you believe in. And then again, it can be word, because you have the revelation. What about your unscriptural creeds? What creeds? What I trust in. Credo. What I believe in. That you're listening to. Of all denominations, there's not one excuse. They all go to the judgment by the word. And if any man take away the words, saying it's not the same, you know, see, away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Now, Brother Branham explains that. See, he's not just taking a word away. It's you twisting that thing. See, like I told you, I could use a double negative and come up with a positive in the Bible and not change one word. But if you deny any concept, or you believe a concept and then think you believe further and add to it, it's over. See, You're not going anywhere according to this Word of God. Now, you can mess with this, and it's no longer the Word of God. So, well, it's still the Word of God. No, you're wrong. Look, as it's written and vindicated, that's the Word of God. The minute you and I take in our hands, it doesn't necessarily be the Word of God anymore. See? Just like you getting your hands on somebody else's checks. There's still somebody else's check, but you're messing with it. See, you can't do that. God will take His part out of the Book of Life and the Holy City and things written in there. In other words, there's nobody who will ever get to New Jerusalem. Now, you see, the foolish virgin could enter into this unwittingly, never being bride, but come in through the white throne. Now, though he be a preacher, see, though he be a church member all his life, though he be a bishop or pope, whoever shall take one word of this, and that's Galatians again, Paul preaching, just one word. Do you realize it was one word Eve doubted that caused all the trouble? One spoken word of God, Eve doubted to be the truth, and it caused every sickness, every disease, every suffering baby. Remember Brother Brown's little daughter dying with her eyes crossed in such pain? That's what he's talking about. He could never cease praying for every cross-eyed child. He just stopped right there and prayed. Just killed him to see little kids suffer. And he said, that's what we've done, one word. Caused every hospital, the old hospitals are great, wonderful. Are they? It's wonderful people build them to try to help people, but it's horrible they have to be built. Yeah, it's horrible they got to be built. Every operation ever performed, every death, one person disbelieved one word. There you are. Notice then, and these are my words, notice the influence of the church. Because that's what he's talking about. I won't have time to read that. We'll get to that next time whenever I get back. Well, that'll be next Saturday. By the grace of God. And we'll read what Brother Branham said, what this whole thing is about. How many minutes we got? 15 minutes? Well, this is a good place to stop. Yeah, this is a good place to stop right here because this talks about Eve, where she fooled with that word. Okay. That's as good as we'll do right now. Shall we do better? Let's rise and be dismissed at this time, shall we? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your riches and glory which are in Christ Jesus, who is the Word and the life of this Word written here and given to us at this particular time, because it certainly did prove itself out, and we saw what the real Word was concerning Malachi 4 and also in Matthew, the 12th chapter, Matthew 4, and over there in Revelation, the 10th chapter, 1 to 10, and right on down the line, the mysteries of Revelation 19, and all through there, Lord, the mystery of Revelation chapter 13, and we see these great things, Lord, vindicated to us, and all we can say is, Lord God, it was proven absolutely, and we are grateful for that which is no longer made a creed or a dogma. At least we truly hope so, Lord, that we've not tampered with your word, especially, Lord, in preaching and teaching it. No tampering by your grace, Lord. You alone can help, and we're depending upon your help and believing today that we got help from you to talk about your word, what the prophet brought, which is the word of this hour, knowing that the generation, these people, are going to go right to the end like it was in Noah's Ark, right to the end like it was when Jerusalem was destroyed and the worship was put away once and for all, never to go back. No, sir, the light was snuffed out and the staff was broken, Lord. But today, there's going to be a little teeny bride go on to glory. And what a fabulous thought that is, Lord, a little group of people receiving your spirit of the end time in the church, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, coming in love, giving us the end time instruction, the great mysteries of Almighty God, placing us, the hour in which you live, bringing it all together, bringing us all together as word of the ages, coming to the end time, where you here are in the midst, and Lord, knowing one day you'll take us up and become incarnate to us. Father, that is something which I realize many people talk about, and the way they talk and the way they act, it sounds as though they have a revelation that is so fabulous it could almost make us cry, thinking, how little do we really understand and believe and receive the fact you're here and make it the most important thing in our lives. And Lord God, we know we're remiss there. Help us now that the Word become red hot within us, Lord. The red hot Word of your presence. where we realize it as this never before. It's just simply live and breathe and let it be our living and breathing, Lord. Let it be our life. As Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We're speaking of that, Lord, today on the grounds of, not of Paul, but the life within us. Let it be. Let it be, Lord, what you did for him in his measure, for Brother Branham in his measure. Let it be in our measure. And let it be known to us that that is our measure. Somehow we pray it might be. And we be satisfied, Lord, and move on to the higher heights and deeper depths. The light of this word. Bring us all together, Lord, or that blessed aura that can be in the building, the sweet presence of Jesus Christ our Lord today. That sweet spirit, Lord, healing the sick amongst us and bringing us into a captivity of love toward each other as never before. That we can know we're the true body of that germ life, Lord, is possible. Invisible union, Lord. All together, one mind and one heart going forward, ready, getting ready for the rapture. Loving him who made himself manifest. And Peter said, whom you don't see, but you love. Seeing him not, you still love him. For Lord, we've seen you. Seen your picture here mounted on the wall. Seen the evidence of your presence by those things that were done. Well, there's no doubt about it, Lord. May every shadow be taken from our hearts, minds, and lives. The negative go to the positive. Grant that this morning, O God, as we seek thy face. Let thy word be deep within us. And the knowledge of that word be communicated one to another. The knowledge of the Lord cover our souls and our very lives, bringing forth to your glory. If we prayed all day, Lord, we couldn't change our prayer. We might just become more insistent. That would be great. But you hear from our hearts this morning, O God. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be power, honor, and glory conceded unto you, and become our dominion and our way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name.